The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media. This is Time by the Tent Podcast with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird. Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about bugs at camp as well as camping on a budget. Our guest is from YouTube channel Small Plots. Kevin will be with us. The hour is full, so join us. Welcome to Time by the Tent Podcast. I'm your host, Joy Barrett. Beside me is my co-host, best friend, camping partner, and wife,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, the camper on private, public land, hiking, outdoors, and owner of land, and more. Thank you for taking time out of your day to download the program, to watch it on our YouTube channel, Time by the Tent. And you can also visit our parent website, which is the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com. We've got two camping-related tabs at the top of that page. One is all podcasts of this program, as well as our camping YouTube channel, where we have documentation of product reviews as well as camping journeys there. Time by the Tent on YouTube, if you're listening to us on the podcast platform. You can join the conversation by sending us an email to twvgshow@gmail.com. That's twvgshow@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us, you can do that at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Well, Holly, one of the disappointing things about camping could be the bugs.
Yeah, bugs will make you go a little nutty. And you can, if you are bugged by bugs, you need naturally green, no more bugs, environmentally friendly, made in the USA products. They have a cedar bend that repels and eliminates mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, and more. No more bugs. You can go to nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP, the number 4ME.
Well, you can do that. And there's also some other techniques in which to control or to work in harmony with the bugs, because they're going to be out there regardless of if you're out there or not. One can be having a campfire. The smoke will help deter these bugs, whether they're mosquitoes or gnats or whatever they may be. There are other things in which you can add to the fire in order to repel, like mosquitoes, if you add rosemary fronds and all that, but that's a whole other thing. But having that smoke around, bugs don't like smoke. It is a natural deterrent of the bugs.
And there are products that you can get to emit odors that aren't like a citronella. I mean, you can use citronella candles.
Right. But also the problem with that is it's only 3 foot radius.
Right.
You got to have a lot of them.
But it's helpful if you're cooking or whatever. And you're, maybe the campfire is keeping bugs away in that area. And then if you're in a cooking area or food preparation or whatever, I have learned that one of the biggest things to keeping bugs out of your tent is to keep the tent closed.
Okay.
Now, obviously, this is not going to keep all of the bugs out because bugs are sneaky. But if you just leave your tent wide open, what's going to go in there?
Anything,
bugs,
everything. The raccoons, the bears, the whatever you got there.
Your raccoon friends.
Keeping the tent closed. You can spray, the chemicals and or the citronella chemicals, have the torches, that and have the campfire. That all helps kind of keep the bugs at bay. Small gnats and mosquitoes and chiggers and ticks and all that. Let's talk about ticks for a minute. That ticks have become a very prevalent problem in campsites, and there are tick repellent applications in which you can spray in yourself. But the best defense to ticks is making sure that you're checking yourself whenever you're going out in the woods.
Right. That's the thing is that, yes, you can spray. You can, especially if you have pets, you can use the tick treatment, the flea and tick treatment that a lot of pet owners use. And then on yourself, you can use different sprays, etc. But, the biggest thing is checking your body. So, like,
strip down naked and check your body. That's what Dave Letterman always said. Yeah, yeah.
You get a friend.
Yeah, friend, yeah. special friend to check you for your ticks.
Yeah, so anyway, you do want to check for ticks, and if you know that they are in the area, another thing is that you can tuck your pants into your socks as opposed to tucking your pants over your socks.
Right.
That will help them not hopefully get on you. If you have long hair, tying your hair back or braiding your hair, because if your hair is braided, then they have less of a chance of like they might jump on your hair, but they'll fall off easier than if they have like a big mass of hair to go through.
Well, with the whole tick conversation, you need to have the appropriate tool or tools to remove ticks if they are attached to your skin.
Yeah, there's tick remover tools you can buy.
Right, you don't flick it off.
No, because they burrow their heads into your skin.
And there's Lyme disease, and there's other tick carrying diseases in which you can get, and the sooner you can get them off of you, the sooner or the less chance you have by adapting or getting one of those diseases. And that goes with mosquitoes or bees or wasps or whatever bug that is in your area that you may be allergic to. Have the proper medicated application in order to react to a sting or a bite.
Right. Yep.
So you what is an EpiPen? Is that what they
EpiPen?
EpiPen. That's
yeah, but
what
that's not for all people.
Right. But I mean, yeah. Whatever it is that you're allergic, you know, talk to your doctor, find out, be reactive or be proactive instead of reactive when it comes to the gnats. Also, where you set up at, where your camp is at.
Yeah, if you're setting up in tall grass, you're probably going to find some critters.
And sometimes on a public campsite, the state forests are pretty good about having these campsites not in a swamp or a bog, somewhat manageable. Obviously, it's nature and you can't control the insects flying from one area to the other, but it's not, they don't have 27 campsites in the center of a swamp area.
Right. They are maintained and you know, mowed down or cleared out or whatever. So, yeah. And there's even, I know, there's a newer state park here in Wisconsin that there it was a county park and then the state park system took it over. And when you go there, it talks about ticks and poison ivy. And I'm sure that because it just hasn't been maintained, so that makes that population of both those things increase.
Right. And with the, you know, in public, if you're camping on private land, your own land, this doesn't apply. But if you're camping on public, state, whatever it is, if you stay in the areas in which is designated for you to stay on the trail or the campsite and you're not wandering through the brush, the likelihood of some of these getting on you is limited.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So that's another thing is you want to stay on trail. And you probably have seen people go off trail, but there's many reasons to stay on trail. One is because of the bugs and the ticks. The other is because when you go off trail, you are disturbing that natural ecosystem. If you are close to any sort of like cliff or waterway, you could be creating more erosion. And so that's why you want to stay on trail for many reasons.
So, yeah, you want to do that. Other things that you want to be, you know, aware of is what, Holly, when it comes to bugs in your campsite? You just be aware of what kind of bugs that you probably will encounter.
Yeah, and then even anthills, this will happen a lot.
We see this on YouTube, that fire ants. Now, we don't know anything about fire ants.
No, but I remember one time my sister and I were taking my niece and nephew hiking at a state park, and she backed her SUV up to a spot, and then she went to go to the back of the spot, to the back of her vehicle, and she stepped in an anthill, and these ants just were all over the place. And then when she was like, oh, something's crawling on me, of course, I stupidly walk over there. Yeah. And
it's crawling on me too.
Yeah. So you got to be aware where you're stepping, where you might be setting something up. If you see like a little mound of sand in the middle of a parking lot or something, or even just in your campsite, it could be an anthill.
Well, chiggers are another thing. Chiggers are something that you cannot see and you don't know it's bit you until it's after the fact. So a precautionary measure is if you're going to lay on the ground, use a blanket. And when you're done with that blanket, don't put it on your cot or in your sleeping bag or near your sleep. Wrap it up and put it in a bag for the purpose of washing it whenever you get back home. because you don't want to, and you know, the triggers are going to be in the blanket, and then you take it inside your tent. Now your tent's got triggers in it. And triggers are, if you're not familiar, they're a very tiny bug that bites you, and you don't know that they've bit you until about a day later when every pore, you know, your legs are just covered with little bumps, and it's red and itches and really
it
bad.
It could just be one area.
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember I had trigger bites on my ankles from some hike I took, and they just, it itches like crazy.
Keep your food covered or dispose of your food properly after the meal. That will lessen the bugs as well.
Right. That's another thing is that
flies are a bug.
Yeah, flies. And that's the thing is, are you inviting these bugs into your campsite by being, you know, not conscientious of what you're doing, and you are just letting a bag of random, very attractive, smelly trash sitting somewhere, and all of a sudden now all the bugs in the state park are in your campsite.
And the other campers appreciate that because they're not in theirs. Now, I've seen this where people bring like a bug zapper. This is unnecessary. If you're going to go camping in the intentions of bringing a bug zapper because you don't like the bugs, camping might not be the hobby that you should be having.
Right. No, it's true. If you don't
fly swatter, I get.
If you don't like bugs and to the point where you are just uncomfortable, maybe visit like a day trip type situation. Don't go camping. Don't sit in the woods. It is not, even if you have, I think, like an RV or something and you can go inside, you're still going to deal with the bugs when you're sitting outside. And for me personally, if I can't sit around a campfire, there's no point.
So. And if it's not fun for you, it's not going to be fun for anybody you're with.
Right, because you're probably going to be complaining and miserable and blah, blah, blah.
So keep these thoughts in mind when you go camping, however you're camping, public, private, tent, camper, RV, whatever the case is. And I guess the biggest takeaway is if you are allergic to something that's in your area that you're going to potentially be bit by, have the proper reactionary medication that is needed to stop a severe reaction from that insect or bug so you don't have to spend the night in the hospital or worse.
Right. And I would agree if your EpiPen or whatever is not useful to you if you don't have it on you.
Right. And as well, you know, like an inhaler and all that other stuff. Stay tuned with us. When we come back, we're going to discuss camping on a budget. You're listening to Time by the Tent Podcast.
Farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer's sleeves offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against elements and outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor of 50+ to protect you from allergens and scratches. You can find all their great products at visitfarmersdefense.com.
Do you own property and you're trying to keep newly planted and established trees healthy and hydrated wherever they may be planted? Well, tree diaper technology can significantly increase the water to your trees. No pipes, no hoses needed. Hydrates from water, from rain, or when you water the trees. Eliminate watering altogether and let it take care of itself. Find all of the information out at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com, and use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off your order at treediaper.com. Hydrate those trees no matter where they're at on your property.
We are brought to you today by sponsor Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from, canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables. What about the meat? Maybe you hunted or trapped that meat. At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, or any other product your way to your high standards. You want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created MeatGistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. They have spices, meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. Oh, you can use code GROW50 to save 10% off orders of $50 or more.
Take those spices to the campsite with you. Waltonsinc.com.
Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection of customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more.
Welcome back to Time by the Tent podcast. I'm Joy Baird. Next to me is
Holly Baird.
We're going to talk about camping on a budget. I think this is a topic, Holly, that many people get frustrated with because they often feel like if they can't have these products or XYZ products, that it's just not going to be camping or it's not going to be worth their time because they see everybody else having these products that you got to have in order to have a good camping experience.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you can be creative. You can double utilize a lot of things in your home. Just because it has a brand name slapped onto it doesn't necessarily make it better. However, I will say that sometimes it is smart to invest in certain things. I know for me personally, as somebody who lives in a larger body, I do like when I can find what's called like tactical clothes in my size, because while they do cost more, it is an investment, but they usually fit well and then they hold up. But
yes,
with that being said, I have dual utilized a lot of different clothing and whatnot for camping and hiking that has been cheaper, and that works too. So it's kind of like you got to sometimes figure it out for yourself. But there's a lot of places you can get camping gear, outdoors gear on a budget. You can be smart about it. And I think the biggest tip is shopping off season. So say that they start putting their camping stuff out like in May, right, at the stores.
Uh-huh.
You can look at clearance from perhaps like winter things, fall things, etc., starting come like March or April.
Okay. But to some degree, you get what you pay for. If you get something El Cheapo on sale, there's a chance it may not have the quality that if you would go middle of the line.
Right. Nope. And that's
you don't need the $700 one. You don't need the $52 one. That $250 is kind of that, and the reviews. You know, you got to look at some reviews too, and take that with a somewhat common sense grain of salt, because that is not always accurate either.
Right. And I would also at times avoid like multi-use items unless you are going to multi-use
example
item. Example.
Yes.
Say that you like when we were looking at sleeping bags.
Okay.
There were ones that were like rated down to -45, and you can sit on the side of the mountain and not slide down, and
uh-huh.
and it weighs less than your pinky. You can pick up with your pinky.
Uh-huh.
We're not backpackers.
No.
No.
And those are like $700 and some odd dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
We want warmth, obviously. We want comfort, but we don't need to have a sleeping bag that you can pick up with your pinky, because we're not hiking, trekking thousands of miles.
Well, I'm still interested to meet the person who says that I'm going to sleep out under the stars when it is ambient -50, 45 degrees below zero, and my sleeping bag's going to keep me warm.
Well,
that's a special individual.
It is. And I think a lot of times when people buy these sleeping bags like that, it's just because they want to ensure some sort of know that even if they're sleeping at 30 degrees, they're going to stay warm.
And you shouldn't buy this stuff to impress people you don't know or don't like. So keep that in mind. So online sales, Facebook Marketplace, other online auction sites have things at a reduced price. Sometimes you have to pay shipping on Facebook Marketplace. You oftentimes can just go in your local area and meet somebody at a public place and trade, you know, pay for it that way and get it for a fraction of the cost. And it'd be fairly decent. You don't need what you think you need. Oftentimes people think, I see this person on YouTube have these three things. I see that person. I need those things because if they're camping in the way they're camping, in order for me to camp the way they're camping, I need those items too.
I think that's definitely true. And I think you should watch a variety of people and what they do. I know we like to watch like truck camping, van camping, whatever you want to call it. And if you only watched one person, you might set yourself up either for failure or too much or something. But watching a variety of people, I mean, I can guarantee you there's things that some of these people have and I'm like, I would never buy that. And there's stuff that they do have and I'm like, you know what? I could see myself utilizing that.
Well, Steve Wallace, if you're a camper, you know who Steve is out of Canada. He says there's the arch I'm paraphrasing and really messing this. There's the arch perspective of taking things camping. At beginning, you think you need everything, so you just load up, and at some point in your camping career, you go, I don't need this, and you basically start back where you started from, the bare minimums. And you take very little. Now, he's camping in a stealth in a places where he shouldn't camp, that type of thing. But if you're weekend camping at a campsite or an RV or a tent, there are things in which you may only use once a month, but it's sure nice to have it when you want to use it.
Right, right. And
keep it simple.
You want to keep it simple. You want to, again, I think that you might feel impulsive. You might see something in a camping video and you're, you know, on your phone watching them and then you're looking this up on the internet. Whatever you, and then all of a sudden it's at your door the next day. Make sure that it is something that you can see yourself using over and over again. Another thing is that we are coming upon the beginning of camping season, and there will be sales as well, especially if you live in the northern area. So keep that in mind too. You never know when a sale is just around the corner. I even see like with middle of the summer, etc., and I know for me, I prefer to camp more in the fall and spring. So,
well, also it depends on if your campsite's in the open sun or if you're surrounded by trees. It makes a big difference on how enjoyable that experience can be, too.
Right, but I'm saying that like there might be something not on sale now, but by the time August comes around, I could still utilize that item in October, and it's going to be 15, 20, 30% cheaper.
If you're going to, I mean, this is based on the situation. If you're looking at buying a very expensive tent that you feel that you want and can afford and criteria is met, it doesn't hurt, or a sleeping bag or fill in the blank, it doesn't hurt to call the company and ask some hard questions and then say, hey, I know this probably will be a no, but are you offering any coupon codes? Because I am very seriously looking at purchasing this. Is there anything that you can do to help me? 95% of the time, they will say, yes, here's 5 or 10 or 12 or 15% off. We thank you for considering our product for purchase and hope you enjoy it. And if you have any questions, reach back out to us and we will get the problem solved.
Right. Yep. And that's another thing is that they will often have these deals that they're not going to give out in an email.
The secret deals.
One thing I did want to mention, if you do shop at big box stores or like the warehouse type stores, they will have these items seasonally and they will go on sale. So you check your sale flyer. But basically, once they're gone, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like looking at this tent and you're at the wholesale warehouse store and you're like, oh, you know, it might go down in price and it's already on sale, get it. Otherwise, you're going to be sad and you're going to have to pay more or make a different choice.
Now, we've personally not seen this on YouTube, but I'm sure that there is because we're very selective in the programming that we view on YouTube in regards to camping. But don't buy something because others have told you to, or buy something because they are pushing it, because if you buy it, they get a little kickback and that's how they're going to pay for the channel so you can keep watching their videos. If you are inclined to support that channel, don't buy something expensive. If you want to support them, just watch the ads on YouTube. That helps. Or you can see if they have a Patreon where you can give them a few dollars a month. Don't buy something that is pretty much you're not going to need or use or can afford in order to think that you're going to help somebody that you've never met. And there are people, and you may not think that you're one of them, and great if you're not, but there are people that will do that. People say, I need you to buy this so I can keep making videos. And people respond and buy things in that manner.
Right. And another thing I wanted to mention is with a lot of retailers, there are specific retailers, and there are ones for outdoors things where you do this monthly subscription service. And they send you a box of, they do this for pets, they do this for dishcloths, tea, books, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they do this for outdoors things too.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that's cool. For $20 a month, I can get all of this outdoor stuff. But if you, and I've done this with beauty boxes, and I learned, like, I'll sign up for like a month or two, and then I'm like, you know what? I did like this sample, and this sample, but I didn't use all this other stuff. I gave it away. So keep that in mind. And if you are trying to build
$200 a year to get something that you could have went and bought for $73.
But yeah. If you, maybe you get, maybe, you know, your birthday's coming up and somebody wants to gift you 3 months of it or something.
Right.
You could familiarize with the brands and products as well. So there's like the good with the bad. If you have a bunch of outdoor stuff already and you know it works for you, you probably aren't going to get much benefit from those boxes. If you want to try some new stuff, there is an option. If you don't have a lot of stuff, you want to build a collection, that's an option too. Or you can just go, a lot of times you can shop what they have in those boxes on their website, or you can find the brands and read reviews. So there's also that too.
So there you go. Camping on a budget. You don't have to go full bore and spend everything you have to spend and enjoy a outdoor weekend at your favorite campsite. Be smart about it and certainly enjoy, but do it on a budget. When we come back, Kevin from YouTube channel Small Plots will be with us. You're tuned in to Time by the Tent podcast. Goodbye biting bugs and plant invaders. No More Bugs by Natural Green Products is your answer. A product pioneered by the USDA and 14 years in business, No More Bugs has been the favorite by consumers across the country. More than a repellent, it is safe for you, your pets, your plants, and your home. Visit nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use coupon code FREESHIP. For me. That's free ship, the number for me.
Grip 6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have a high quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They're built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from the Rocky Mountains, and even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. You can wear them around the house daily, to the outdoors, to the garden, etc. And we are glad that we made the switch ourselves because they are incomparable to any other sock we have worn. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip 6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com and coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com.
Welcome back to Time by the Tent podcast. I'm Joy Baird. Next to me is
Holly Baird.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Kevin is the founder and creator of YouTube channel Small Plots. Kevin likes to find small plots in which to plot predominantly to camp, never knowing what kind of small plots he will find. On Small Plots, you'll find hammock camping, tarp camping, even some tent camping. Kevin camps year-round and decides to start chronicling the experience. The goal is generally to start a fire, sit down, crack some frosty suds. He is not a professional camper by any means, but his goal is not to teach, but to have fun in the woods. Welcome to Time by the Tent podcast, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day. And I'll start with this. How did you get into camping? Has it always been something you've done or something you found later on in life?
Well, kind of both. I used to do it a bunch as a kid. My dad was an avid camper throughout his life and kind of passed that to me as a kid. And I stopped for several years. And then in 2018, I kind of caught the bug again and never looked back.
Holly was a camper when she grew up. I did hunting and camping back on the farm, and we got away from it with our jobs, and we decided we've got to do something. Otherwise, we're going to go bonkers. So this was a nice way of relaxing.
It's our midlife crisis hobby.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. So in the self-camping world, self-camping is a popular way to spend the night camping, usually in a place that you should not be. And sometimes it does not go as planned. You have camped where a body was found. You caught someone hiding in the woods. Have nearly gotten caught yourself. We cannot imagine this is a very fun way to spend the night. Do you recommend this level of camping? And I'm very curious, why? Why do you stealth camp? And every time we're watching stealth camping, I'm like,
this can't end well.
Yeah. So very curious about those two questions.
All right. Well, I'll answer the why first. And the answer may surprise you. It's very convenient. That's, you know, that's about, that's a big reason. I can walk to these camps. Right. I live in the city and I can just like leave my apartment and walk to these camps and film a video. And it's very convenient. If I'm going to go out and film a video in like a nearby forest or something like that, generally it's like an hour minimum to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. That's part of the why. It is fun. I do find it exciting sometimes, and it's believe it or not, it can be relaxing. You know, it may not seem like it is all the time, but it could definitely be relaxing. Yeah, any amount of nature sometimes is just good to get out in, even if it's like a tiny little, you know, the woods right next to an expressway.
Right.
So yeah, I guess that hopefully that answers that question. And as for recommending it, no, I do not recommend it. I cannot say that it's for everybody. Also, if I recommend it and like people go and do it, and then like it's going to get, you know, too many people doing it, and then they're going to start cracking down, and then I can't do it anymore. So no, get out of here. Go camp regularly.
So you're gatekeeping the stealth camping, correct?
I'm absolutely.
Perfect.
And
I imagine those who stealth camp that are not on YouTube and just do it for, you know, the thrill, it's a lot easier than people like you and Steve Wallace and others who are documenting this and getting the shots and trying to be quiet and not expose yourself to people who are passing by.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And, you know, in some of your stealth camping videos, you have a fire, Kevin. And now my understanding of stealth camping is not to say, hey, here's a fire. Everybody look at me. What's the purpose or why do you have a fire when you're stealth camping in some instances?
Well, you're absolutely right, Joey. It's not stealthy at all. It's very unstealthy. It's a beacon, but why I have it is manifold. Mainly, I just like having a fire. It's kind of a nice thing to do. Often, I need it to cook, not all the time, but often. And I only ever do it if I'm pretty sure I can get away with it. Like if the brush is thick enough, or if I'm far enough away from wherever I'm camping near, like to where they wouldn't see it, or would only see it if they stared directly at it. And also sometimes, depending on the time of year, I just need it for heat to survive. It gets pretty cold out there in the winter. And so that's basically why. But it's not stealthy at all. It's certainly not.
Well, a campfire gives a peace of mind. You know, the illusion to keep the boogeyman away. Those type of thoughts, and
right.
it's relaxing, whether it's stealthy or not.
Yeah, it's nice. I enjoy a good campfire. I know there's different types of campers out there to where people. I've talked to campers who like never even consider having a campfire. And that's like so crazy to me. Yeah,
that's not camping. Why camp if you can't have a fire?
Right? Yeah, come on.
One of your biggest annoyances, as Holly and mine are, is when campers, you go to a campsite in a location of a previous camper, and I use this word lightly, they left some trash around, and they didn't clean up after themselves. Do you have, in addition to the trash being left there, any other pet peeves when it comes to camping and going where somebody else has already camped?
The trash is definitely a big one. Especially when I'm in like the back country and people like leave stuff like miles from civilization. When I'm in the city, it's just, you know, it probably just blows there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as other stuff, this isn't really anything anyone can do anything about, but I really hate I don't know what people call them regionally. I call them prickers. Some people call them stickers. Basically, just thorn bushes, just thorns. They're a pet peeve of mine. I hate them. They're always the perfect place to get you. I've had many run-ins with thorns, and I know nobody can do anything about this. It's just the way nature is. Sometimes there are thorns, but it's I hate them. So I guess I'd count thorns as a pet peeve. Also, the wind when you're trying to set up.
Right.
Other than that, it's very enjoyable.
Well, and you and your you've done videos with Sam Banana and many other YouTubers in the camping world. I guess I don't know this for a fact, that Steve Walls kind of started this. If you go somewhere and you see trash, bring as much out as you can to make it nicer for the next person. I don't know if Steve started that, but it seemed like he did it, and then everybody else kind of followed in his suit. A good thing to have, represent.
Sure. Yeah, no, I do it when I take it out when I can, but often I'm hoofing it, and I don't have space or bags to. I wish I could take everything. But if there's I'll definitely there's some cans or something nearby, I'll stomp on them and just throw them in my garbage bag that I have for my stuff. It's definitely a good practice. It's a shame that it even has to be done, but I guess, it is what it is.
Absolutely. So you have teamed up a little bit with Camping with Sam Bananas on your camping trips. We are curious about the banana flask, taking a nip off the old banana flask, and if you could give us any insight on that.
The origination of it. Yeah, the origination about it, and then did you adopt it, or did he start it and said, hey, we should do this together? How does that story go?
Well, I think he just started doing it because of his Sam Bananas name. I don't know. You'll have to ask him about the origin of it. But back when I first started Small Plots, Sam and I were very similarly sized channels. I think I was actually I had 700 and he had 400 or something like that. We were real small. And it was I saw that he had the banana flask in his video, and I found one on Amazon, and so I every once in a while bust it out and give him a little shout out. And then, of course, when we go camping together, I have to bring it, and then we can do the little nip off the old banana flask together, and it's a magical moment.
For people who watch you two camp or watch you camp in a 20-minute video, and I know how we produce, but I'm asking you from a production standpoint, out of 20 minutes that we see on YouTube, how much content is not even used? How many hours potentially of content do you not even use that you just take the best of the best?
Well, it definitely depends. And the more I make videos, the better I get at cutting out the fat while I'm filming.
Mm-hmm.
My earlier videos, I definitely cut a lot more out than I cut out on my more recent stuff. But I do cut a ton out, still, even every shot I have of just nothing is usually 10 or 15 seconds, but there's 3 seconds in the video, stuff like that. Most of it's B-roll. B-roll. Sometimes I just ramble too much, and I'll have to cut some of that out. That's a big part of what I cut out. A fair amount, definitely. It's. I don't think I've ever just dragged all the clips in the timeline and just been all right, perfect.
Well, for me, camping, the videography portion is just as somewhat more as a relaxing as the actual camping, because you're kind of telling a story and you're camping, so you're kind of doing two fun things at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I'll even be up to the wire, so I'll get home from camp. I always post Tuesday nights, and I'll go camping Monday night, and then get back and then edit all day and get right under the wire for the 6:30 deadline. that isn't the relaxing version of it.
No,
but, that's not what I do. That's not the norm anymore. I used to do that way more often. I don't do that hardly ever anymore. It just became too much.
but you've done worse things and had less enjoyment. So I guess that you can look at it that way.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely like editing. It's a fun. Not only do you get to go and kind of like relive the trip in that way, it's just kind of nice to like put it together in a coherent manner, I guess.
And see things that you didn't know that you filmed or was behind you, or shots that you didn't know. And oh, I got that in the shot. That's neat.
Oh yeah, I just recently on my recent trip with Sam Bananas, we had set up our cameras to do like a walking shot. And a snake crawled in front of my camera on the ground. And I didn't realize I got it until I exported the video even, because I just still didn't even catch it in editing. When I watched it on YouTube later, I was like, oh my God. I was pumped.
So in your YouTube camping adventures, have you ever gone to camp and you were going to film and then you're like, you know what? I'm not feeling this. I'm just not going to film, or I'm just not going to stay. Has this ever happened to you, and what was the reasoning for it?
I've never bailed, but I have had to move. Like you mentioned earlier, like there was a time when I got to a spot and I was like looking around and I scared somebody off in the woods. I decided not to stay there. But then I went to another spot. And I've never bailed because of weather, because that's what people love to watch. Like, those are the best viewed videos of when you're in the worst weather.
Right.
So I gotta do that, even if it's uncomfortable, which I honestly, like, love camping in bad weather. It's kind of fun.
Well, whenever you camped near where that deceased body was found, you didn't know that right away. That was, like, after the fact that you got home and saw it on the news. Is that how that transpired?
Oh no! I knew they had. Well, I was planning on camping in that area anyway, and that was just like I was trying to think of a reason, like what to categorize the video as. You know, like what is the point? What's the point? I guess. And then I was like, oh, perfect! They just found a body there recently. That might play.
Is there a place that you are willing to say, or at least in your mind say, that in your camping career, if I could just camp there or camp in this way, my career would be complete?
I think, like, I don't know. I really like camping in, like, weird places. I would love to camp, like, in a big cave. Like a cave that's like big enough to where I could have like a fire in the cave and like kind of like caveman it up. I think that would be really cool. Or even like a big sewer, like a sewer or an abandoned subway station in New York or something like that. I think I would love to camp. I probably wouldn't be able to have a fire in the abandoned subway station or sewer. I think something like that. I got to do one of these days, but the search continues for where that would be, I guess.
Before we ask you how our listeners can find you, who are some of your influences on YouTube that you watch and go, hey, I like the way he camps, I'm going to take that technique? Is there certain people that you just gravitate toward that you got to watch every week if they post?
You know, I kind of don't watch camping videos anymore. I'm too, like, ingrained in, you know, my own camping videos and, like, trying to, like, have my own voice and style and stuff. And I try not to get caught up in, you know, what other people are doing. So I don't want, like, any cross-contamination, right. I guess.
Right.
I do still watch Steve Wallace on occasion, and I watch Sam Bananas whenever he puts out a video, and then a couple of the Stealth Camping Alliance guys, like Squid, I'll catch sometimes. Tony from Random Adventures 2.0, I'll catch sometimes. But other than that, like any of like the big campers or anything like that, like I haven't watched a Joe Robinette in a while. I haven't watched Matthew Poza in a while. But I used to love those guys a lot. It's too much, you know. I can't make and watch camping videos. So much camping video in my life. I got other stuff to do.
If they would make 30 hours in a day, that would help a lot of us out.
Yeah. I always wish you could like just pause time and just get done in the void of existence and then like unpause and be like, all right, let's just move on.
Right.
Absolutely. So we've really enjoyed having you on the program. How can our listeners find you on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm just YouTube Small Plots or Small Plots on Instagram. And yeah, those are the places. Mostly YouTube. Instagram's just kind of like, you know, supplemental to the YouTube channel. Post every Tuesday at 6:30. Most Tuesdays. I miss one every now and then. Life gets in the way. Things get busy. You know, whatever. It's tough to put out a weekly vid. It's most Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's when the Small Plots drop, and that's when you can find me.
Well, Kevin, we thank you for the time and the information and the education behind your videos and your YouTube channel. Thank you very much for that.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. Well, that will work, Kevin. We will get this edited up and dropped on Thursday, and you'll get notified on YouTube when that happens.
Nice. Yeah, I'll make sure to plug it when that happens.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for that, and continue to be safe and keep putting those videos out. We do enjoy watching them.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's been very nice talking with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, we certainly appreciate Kevin taking time out of his day to join us and enlighten us about his YouTube channel and some of his adventures when stealth camping and what some of those things behind the scenes that you might wonder about when you watch him or other YouTubers.
Absolutely. And we've really had a lot of fun talking to him and looking forward to more of his videos.
Yes. So until next program, I'm Joy Baird.
I'm Holly Baird.
And we will see you at the campsite.